Okay, and welcome back, everyone, to the last hour here, or about the last 55 minutes of the show here. As I mentioned, Judd wanted to come back on, and he's also brought a friend. I think he's been on before, but I'll let Judd introduce him first. So welcome back again, Judd.
Yeah, this is David Harbin. He and I have discussed quite a few matters over the past 7 or 8 years, at least, known quite a while. And his expertise in the major crime networks in Florida and Alabama, Georgia, that southeastern sector of the United States, is just remarkable. And once you hear some of the things that he's going to share on your show, you're going to discover that we got a problem, America, and it's very, very serious. And I'm going to just leave it there and let Dave jump in here and tell us all about his experience in the real estate scheming and scamming in Southeast United States. Dave, go, buddy.
Yeah, I've got a blog. It's called Panama, P-A-N-A-M-A-E-D. And I was partners with this crooked preacher, Reverend J.W. Hunt. And he took me up to this place called the White Western Men's Club. And everybody I saw up there was people that had given me trouble all my life. We were having Hardee's roast beef sandwiches. The Hardee's owner was one of the 12. They have a feed every third Thursday night. And there's 12 members, one for each month. And it was Harry Sanders' turn that night, and I got invited up there. We were trying to do a truck stop, and it was all a ripoff, and I saved the boys' property from being stolen. They had set up a bogus corporation and conned him into signing a deed over a little $3,000 bridge loan, and then they got an appraisal that was really low, so I knew something was up, so I bailed out of it. But that was just part of what was going on. Harry Sanders had a truck stop up there that was landlocked and had Hardee's there and couldn't get in and out, poorly planned, you know, just typical mafia stuff. You know, they don't care about anybody and they don't do any planning, and everything's shady and cheap, and you know how it goes. But that was just part of it. And I met this guy up there. I didn't really know it at the time, but he showed up in my office the next morning. I'd been in business 12 years. I never had any problems. And this guy was the IRS. He came in for an audit. You know, meet him up at White Western Thursday night, and he shows up Friday morning.
Oh, hey, and, David. David.
Everything went over good, no problem. And he was just more or less threatening me. And about 6 months later, I decided I was going to sell out, and a Chicago title agent had offered me money, and we set up a closing. And when they showed up, they said, "No, we're not going to give you." It was like $250,000. I said, "No, we're not going to give you that. We'll give you $10,000. So I kicked him out of the office, and the IRS guy shows up, and hell, he seizes my corporation while I'm in my attorney's office. Of course, my attorney was in on it too, but he seized my corporation. Didn't go after the money in the bank. You know, my underwriter was there, Industrial Valley Title underwriter. They were owned. I didn't realize it. They had actually been bought out by Fidelity at the time. You know, Chicago Title, Industrial Valley Title, you know, Fidelity owns just about all of them. But thing about it is, you know, I went ahead and decided I'd do a quitam racketeering suit, and went ahead. I actually tried to file a bankruptcy, too, and the bankruptcy court knew I was coming. I paid an attorney to file a bankruptcy. He wouldn't, and I was a creditor, you know. The company owed me probably $50,000, so I was a creditor, too. I could have put him in bankruptcy, but he wouldn't let me do it because it was a corporation, and you got to have an attorney, you know, to do anything involving a corporation. But I also
yes, you
operated
do.
Under Florida Title, which was a partnership. And I tried every way I could to get in, appeared in court and couldn't do it. Same thing in federal court. They wouldn't accept, you know, my original petitions and all. I had to go ahead and sue them personally. And 2 days after the marshal served this IRS guy, they found him dead. So there's been a lot of things going on, and, you know, I just saw what was going on there, and I spent about 15 minutes at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals trying to get them to either do a murder investigation or exhume his body or something. There was no autopsy. A doctor had signed off of it and on a death certificate. And that was like the brother of the attorney where I was when they put the padlocks on the doors. But I had microfilm, I had new reader printers, and I just set up a closing package using Landtech out of Palm Beach with a couple of stations and correlating copiers and all that stuff. And they did an inventory and didn't list any of that stuff on the inventory and wound up selling my business for like $7,000. And I fought them and went to the Supreme Court and I was waiting for an in-bank hearing response. And, you know, the time still, it doesn't toll. I mean, it does toll. You can't wait, you know. I sent it up there and it was double spaced and they didn't like that. You know, it used to be a day when you could file a Supreme Court writ of certiorari on toilet paper, you know, and then they kicked mine back because it was double spaced in some areas. And by the time I got it republished, you know, there were 32 defendants, 12 counts. Conspiracy, extortion, civil assault, and just all kinds of things as far as the racketeering, Sherman Act, Clayton Act, but I never got a hearing.
I want to ask you a question, Dave. You just kind of stumbled into the racket down there, didn't you? You just bumped into it.
Hey, I'd been in it since high school. I was on the inside. My mom worked at the courthouse.
So what I'm trying to say here is that all this corruption swirling around the banks and the title companies and the training of the 9/11 pilots, you know, the pilots that hijacked the aircraft and did the World Trade Center job. And
hey,
all
they
this
were
other-
trained, Muhammad. Muhammad Otto was trained at Maxwell Air Force Base up there with General Bowen Ballard, you know, and he helped fail Colonial Bank.
Yeah, and that's a big, that's a
they
big
were all
collapse,
trained.
Colonial, right?
They were all trained in America.
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel Hofsicker, he just recently passed. He's got some real good information from South Florida on what was going on down there, too.
And this had a lot to do with Jeb Bush?
Well, I'm not that familiar with that part.
Okay.
I know Jeb Bush. There was some, you know, they were talking about Neil Bush setting charges and all that other stuff. I don't know any of that, but you know, there was something fishy about all of that.
Well,
and you can't, if one thing is a lie, it's all a lie.
Neil Bush owned the company, owned the security company that took care of the World Trade Center, and he just sold it a few weeks before the September 11th attacks.
Yeah.
The fascinating thing about why I asked Dave to come on is over in Texas, I stumbled into it. I had no idea what was going on. I literally stumbled into it. Now, right before the show today, I sent several letters down to Dolphusino Consulting in Houston. He's a former big investigative reporter with ABC News. Wayne Dolphusino has picked up my work in Texas, and it's well, he'll have a lifetime job because it's huge. It's massive, the amounts of money that have been swindled through these insider good old boy real estate deals like what's going on in Arkansas with the Clintons. And then everybody in the world has seen this giant financial nightmare coming out of the biggest money laundering banks in world history. Now, Fidelity, see, Dave hit the nail on the head when he started talking about Fidelity. And this fictitious company called Bank of New York Mellon, not even a real company. It's a created on paper.
Yeah, the book.
It doesn't exist.
The book I'm reading gets into that, Judd. The Whitney Webb book gets into that.
Yeah, and MERS. See, that's the thing. Dave was the title man, examiner, right, Dave?
Yeah.
And so he's more knowledgeable than, you know, just somebody down at the pub. He knows the little intricacies to these big dirt dealing land flips.
Hey, the problems I had when we first set up, all the banks were coercing business, directing business to their own buddies, you know, and that was a violation of the insurance code, you know, coercion of business, extortion, you know, that's the racketeering part, you know, when they blackball you, you know.
Well, you got to pay them, what do they call them, kickbacks? You gotta pay your kickback.
A wink and a nod. That's all it took. A wink and a nod.
So, where I'm coming from right this moment with Mr. Harbin, who's an extremely knowledgeable fella, once you get to know him a little bit, is what was going on in Florida, and Alabama, Georgia. Mississippi, Louisiana, the Carolinas, all the way up to New York, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Robert Wolf with Union Bank of Switzerland, you know, he was tied in with Shores of Panama down in Panama City. There was condos built, you know, and that ties directly into him and Breland and that's Margaritaville. You know, they're doing a Margaritaville in Panama City that's larger than the villages. And St. Joe Paper Company, you know, they took the old airport and swapped it from some swamp land, and they had to put these, I call them fish drains in. They put drains in to try to drain the swamp, and they used limestone instead of granite. So I'm sure those will be collapsing soon. But, you know, it was just... that was a St. Andrew Bay development company ties back into Utah.
Uh-oh, Utah. There's that magic word. LDS Mormon Church.
Yes, sir.
Now, yes. when they do all the rebuilding, when they do those big, you know, reconstructions, their cousin Vinny will get the work, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, do the security, and you know, there's all these spinoffs. You know, one of the main things that happened with me, I used to have an ice cream truck, and we went cruising up and down the beach. You know, when I was a kid, and we parked at this place. It was Edgewater Beach, and there was 1,000 front feet of dedicated park. Well, the original plat showed all the parks. There was like 5 separate little parks there. Well, Ed Ball decided he had replatted all and stole all the parks. Well, they decided they were going to develop that. They had to move U.S. Highway 98 to be able to put condos on the parks. And they brought in Sheriff John Short out of Hudson, Florida. He had the Alamo title. And that's the Alamo, you know, for me. But at any rate, he went in and did the original title. And I had an exclusive agency agreement with my underwriter that no one else should have written anything in Bay County. Well, he goes in and lets them build those condos on 1,000 rough feet of dedicated park. And my dad actually worked for the guy that was doing the construction. They built it on like burning pine trees, but actually he went in and tried to turn it over to me and wanted me to handle all the off sales. And the first thing I told him was, said, listen, you built it on a dedicated park. I'm not touching it. So I gave up a lot of money, you know, by doing that and standing my ground. But I don't regret it, but I do regret, you know, that there's a protection racket. You know, these guys are being protected. And then there's a hit racket. If you do something against them, they put a hit out on you somehow. Either they, you know, get you in court, you know, some kind of bogus charges, or, you know, just whatever they got to do to get you out of the way. And that's what they do. You know, they'll honeypot you, you know, with little girls and just all kinds of things. They'll do anything. And they've got just about every racket that there is, you know. Between, there's a place called the Shalimar Club over in Fort Walton. You know, that's where Al Capone used to hang out, you know, and that ties into some real heavy stuff. You know, the Florida Security Czar used to be the U.S. Attorney in Northern District of Florida. DeSantis appointed him Security Czar. Well, he's right there at Shalimar and gave $500 to Hillary Clinton's campaign, and his son was the on the security team for Trump's vice president,
Pence. Mike Pence.
Yeah, he was on Pence's securities team. Well, he was involved with that Shalimar Club, and there's like Port Dixie down there, and that's probably where the Dixie Mafia got its name from, Port Dixie, there at the Shalimar Club. But the guy that runs Shalimar Club, his sister was Mary George Ades, and that was my first job washing dishes for Mary George Ades. We were doing I was doing that before I could even drive.
Let me get you to switch a little bit here, Dave. I want you to talk about the St. Joe Paper Company and their massive land deals along the Gulf Coast.
Well, they just sold half of Florida to Ag Resources, which is the Mormons. So
LDS right out of Salt Lake City, right?
Yeah.
Or Florida. They got the biggest cattle ranch in the world there in Florida.
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah, they do.
I think it's like
10,000 acres or something like that.
I don't know. That was just that. That's from the 40s and stuff. That's how old that place is. But they've got some newer stuff too, you know, that they've just bought from St. Joe. And St. Joe has been involved in Bay Point, you know, and that's where the OPEC met back in the 70s. OPEC showed up, you know, flying their helicopters in and all at Bay Point. And Obama, you know, he was swimming out in Grand Lagoon, which is right there, you know, and Clinton, his limo was cruising down Magnolia Beach Road. You know, I don't know exactly who he visited down there, but that's some of the most expensive residences in Panama City area there with Petronas and Diocernia.
So you got political operatives and kind of shady shyster gangster types all over that place, right?
Oh yeah. Hey, all those attorneys, man. And I used to be in with those attorneys, you know. I could direct business to the attorneys and tell them you know, I could assign examinations to attorneys. I tried to do the young guys, you know, and give them business and all. And all the old coots, you know, they got mad about all that, you know. And you know, there was this one guy, Charlie Isler. He was the silent partner there, silent owner of Panama Title Corporation. That's where I first started back, you know, right out of high school. And
Worked there about 4 years.
Kind of bring the listeners up to speed here a little bit. Back in the 1960s and in the early 1970s, there was a pretty large FBI investigation between your Panama City area and Houston, Texas. It was known as Operation Lone Star.
Yeah.
And what it was, they were tracking all the organized crime deals between St. Joe Paper and their real estate wheelings and dealings all around Houston, Texas.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of oil company stuff coming through Houston, too, with the Saudis at the time.
So where we're at right now, right today, and I want to let everybody that's listening know that Dave Harbin stumbled into this stuff. He didn't go looking for it. He just happened to be right in the middle of it. By the reason he grew up there.
Well, that's how corruption gets exposed. That's how corruption gets exposed.
Say it again.
And that's how corruption gets exposed. People get tangled up in the middle of it. Don't even know it.
Yeah.
Now, when I say Wayne Dolfacino, I'm talking about a major news reporter. This guy's pretty big. And he has been very successful, I guess is the best way to put it, on getting into the massive nature of this development. It's the size of Washington, D.C. It's 50% bigger than Manhattan. It's over 33,000 acres, and then there's more that they haven't developed yet, but it's right there in Montgomery County, right where I've been raising hell about this stuff. Like Dave kind of been raising hell about what's going on over on the Gulf Coast in Florida. It's been going on for decades. And now we've got Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. We've got Department of Justice and Ken Paxton, the attorney general for the state of Texas, has filed fraud lawsuits against the developers and the financiers. They're going after the financiers on this one. For mail fraud. So where I'm coming from, Dave, and you'll get this right away, everybody remembers what Clinton was doing in Little Rock, Casa Grande, Maplewood Farms, Whitewater, the Arkansas Industrial Development Bank. All of this criminality was being financed and laundered and masked and covered up through real estate transactions. Just like, you know, go ahead, Dave.
I told you that my mom worked with this Aero One out of Mobile. They bought Clinton's plane, and it crashed in the Gulf, killing the pilot. I need to get some information on that thing. I haven't been able to really track it. And I do know that ties back to that Matthew Metcalf. You know, there was a trust involved and all. There was some real deep stuff going on. There was also a funeral home there.
Metcalf funeral. Yep.
Well, they came in. It was that it was the carriage funeral racket out of Post Oak Boulevard, you know, that was actually trying to negotiate with them when they hit me, and then I guess he cut a deal with Metcalf and did another route, but they went in and he's since passed, but there's a trust there, you know. Matthew Metcalf was the ambassador to Georgia. I think maybe, yep, Guyana too, but their embassy was in Mobile, right across the street from the RSA Towers. And you know, when the 9/11 happened, RSA, Retirement Systems Alabama, actually had a building right there just about across the street at 55 Water Street in New York. So you know what the rents did, you know, when there was that collapse and all, you know, I'm sure all the rents went up. But
well, you've got this giant mess involving the largest amount of laundered money ever in the history of mankind. And yeah, all the banks, all these big banks and stuff, this is the magic about him talking about Carriage Funeral and Metcalf. They operate right there north of Houston in Conroe. Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. Yeah. And they're heavy
in Panama City, too. The mayor over there, he's one of the 12, ex-mayor now, he's one of the 12 White Western Men's Club guys, you know. And he has a funeral home there. And that's just some of my arch nemesis guys, you know.
So let me add, at the White Western Men's Club, do they let in a lot of minorities?
maybe chucking oysters.
There you go. See? You listening to this, Steve? White Western Men's Club.
Hey, the movie Ruby in Paradise, the lodge is where that was filmed in Panama City. That was the White Western Men's Club Lodge. Pilcher was the old mayor. That's who actually owned it from the beginning. And the sheriff lives on the lake there. You know, he's tied in. He's doing a cold case where, you know, Southern Company, a bunch of their directors got taken out. You know, there was a plane crash with a white phosphorus bomb. The widow got $1 million from Gulf Power. And then the McRae couple got murdered in Graceville. And this Frank McKeithen, ex-sheriff that lives on White Western Lake, he has taken over the coal case file. So it's going to stay coal. But Dixie Mafia's got a pattern. They get these people out of jail. They provide a transportation and no telling what else. And there's just a pattern. And I know, you know, there was a murder, Judge Sherry over in Mississippi with Kirksey Nix. They had that Lonely Hearts letter writing stuff from prison. You know, they were writing all these gay people and trying to get money and extorting money from them and stuff. And some of the money got stolen, I guess. And they blamed Judge Sherry. And I think that's probably why they murdered him. But I don't know that he was responsible for that. But the getaway car came from Treadwell Ford in Mobile. And it was, I heard it was like an ugly Fairlane, you know, four-door yellow Fairlane or something they never could have sold. So, you know, they gave that up, no problem.
Like that McVeigh, wasn't McVeigh driving like an ugly yellow, what was that car that they pulled him over with the, well, I guess the missing, yeah. I guess the license plate
LTD
was missing.
Or something, I think. But, hey, you know, I think that I'd heard they were at the Northwest Florida Horsemen's Association before that bombing. I haven't been able to confirm that, but that's what I'd heard, that they actually appeared.
I can confirm this for you for absolute positive. The Continental Illinois Bank that was connected to the Penn Square Bank there in Oklahoma City, they'd bet huge on mineral leases and, you know, oil rights and gas rights and drilling in the oil patch. And when that building was bombed, the cases on the Penn Square Bank were coming up for trial. Oh. And the Clintons and all their buddies had massive real estate interests in mineral and gas contracts that were all in that courthouse when the courthouse blew up. Covering,
yeah,
you know,
U.S. attorney, the U.S. our attorney general was involved with that back then, too.
Now, what a lot of people need to understand is that the mortgage electronic registration system and Bank of New York Mellon and what's that called? Their Fidelity Insurance and Lawyers Title and American Title and First American Title and Chicago Title and Lawyers Title, all these big title companies are supposed to be part of a process of ferreting out fraud
Yeah, any checks and balances.
Texas what?
Checks and balances.
Oh, checks and balances, exactly. So today, right now, this very second, over in this little place they call Palestine, you got some of the biggest real estate development companies in the world, including some of Donald Trump's family, salivating. Because they want to go in and redevelop Gaza. All that oceanfront property and a new Suez Canal.
That's a sea. That's not an ocean. That's a sea.
Okay, well, have you ever been there? Have you ever been to, like, Cyprus?
Man, those beaches. I wouldn't go over there for anything in the world. You got to be crazy to go over there.
Those beaches are, like, topaz blue and clear. Oh, they're beautiful beaches. And I'm going to be... I'm not trying to be a misogynist here. I'm just trying to state a fact. A lot of those Palestinian girls are pretty darn easy to look at. There's some good-looking girls. And it's because of all the different cultural breeding in the region for, what, the last 5,000 years or so, Steve?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The women from the Mediterranean are, like, I mean, Sophia Loren,
well,
there's a good
diet. Their diet is so good. That's the thing, you know, too.
But you've got this giant money thing going on constantly between, like, Tehran and what's the name of that city in Iraq that's so with the, where the Greens, I guess the Green Zone's not there anymore. Didn't they, ISIS and Al-Qaeda, take it over?
You talking about Baghdad?
Yeah. The Green Zone.
You talking about
in Baghdad.
Baghdad?
Baghdad. It's always about something to do with lots and lots and lots of money and huge real estate interests. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Hey, looking at the BP spill, too. We talked about that several times. Follow that money. You know, University of Alabama System's got like $365 million, and Joe Bonner, the congressman in Alabama, he quit Congress to go to work for his sister that ran University of Alabama Systems. Then he brought in this Neil Wade guy that worked for Southern Company, worked for Business Council of Alabama, worked for Bay County Economic Development Alliance.
Arkansas then, Industrial Development Bank. Did you say Arkansas Industrial Development Bank?
No, it's Economic Development Alliance. That's a group of the chamber. It's one of the arms of the chamber, Business Council of Alabama, and all. You know, that's Bill. I can't think of his name, but the guy who drove into the office and committed suicide there, and he worked for Coastal Community Bank. No, I don't think.
Now he didn't kill himself with a nail gun, did he?
I got a good story on that on my blog.
Yeah.
Who would shoot themselves more than once?
You know what I call these guys? The incest mafia.
Yeah.
Well, they're all cousins.
I call them the Velvet Mafia too, man. They use those too.
Yeah. But here's the kicker, Steve Roberts. All this stuff going on over there in Harris County, Liberty County, Montgomery County. It's all going on right there in the back, right on the east border of Roman Forest, which has a massive organized crime. I mean, Florida mafia history, like, oh my God, that's all Roman Forest has ever been. It's a bunch of mobsters out of Florida.
Yeah.
And then right there north of the Exxon development of Kingwood, which is huge. I mean, it's Exxon, for God's sakes. And right there next door to Kingwood, right next door to Roman Forest in Montgomery County, you've got this real estate fraud racketeering scheme going on that's 50% larger than Manhattan, and it's bigger than Washington, D.C. Right out. I mean, when you come into the Houston International Airport, you come into, you know, George Bush International, at the Intercontinental Airport, it's right in their flight path. I mean, you can't not see it. It's right out in the open on the banks of the San Jacinto River. You can't miss it. And it's all tied in, Steve Roberts. Cancel the cabal. What a show. It's all tied into
thank
this.
You, by the way.
Well, it's all tied into Enron, Sanford Financial, Iran-Contra, Charlie Wilson's war. You got so much organized crime running these land swindles and these subprime predatory foreclosures where they sell the land fraudulently and then people figure out they've been had. So then they, you know, they walk away from their land and then they do a predatory foreclosure and they sell it again. And then they do it again, and then they do it again. Some of these properties have been churned and flipped as many as 20 times in this Colony Ridge since 2012. 50% of all the land that they've marketed has been repossessed as many as a dozen times.
Whoa.
Yeah, whoa. So now you got major players, and you got the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, and the Southern District of Texas Assistant U.S. Attorney's Office. You got the Attorney General of the state, and then, of course, you got the Treasury boys in there with Consumer Finance Protection Board. And they're all, every single one of them are just screaming fraud. And Steve Roberts, it's going on all over the nation.
They'll never get it past the judge, though. That's the problem. All the judges are in on it. You know, the judge was on my racketeering suit. He was one of the original FISA judges from 78.
And this was the people behind the fake Russian dossier?
The FISA? I'm sure they had something to do with it, yeah.
There's no way around it,
Hillary. That's that protection racket. Jeff Sessions.
Well, you got to stop and ask yourself a couple of pretty easy questions, okay? How is it that the largest political contributors in U.S. history, the big banks, are involved in laundering so much money you can't even calculate it? It's you can't wrap your mind around the vast amounts of money that they've laundered. And at the very same time, all of the federal judges, all of the U.S. attorneys, all of the FBI guys, all of the Treasury guys, all of the postal guys, every single one of the federal government law enforcement agencies, their retirement pensions are in the crookedest banks in human history through BlackRock, Vanguard, and State. It's all tied together.
All the sheriffs go to the FBI Academy. Every sheriff goes to the FBI Academy.
All of these pensions are sitting in the accounts of the dirtiest banks in history. It's all the law enforcement and the judges are compromised. They got conflicts of interest the size of the Titanic. And it's not me saying it. It's the Wall Street Journal. It's, you know, the Washington Post, it's the New York Times, it's the Seattle Post Intelligencer, it's the Chicago Tribune, it's the biggest newspapers in the world.
Hey, Judd?
Yeah.
They all know about it. All banks are dirty.
They're all invested in it. Hell, their pensions are part of it.
Uh-huh.
Most of the newspapers don't tell the rest of the story, though. That's the thing.
Here's the rest of the story.
They've got their own focus.
You ready for the rest of the story? Now, don't fall down or hurt yourself. But Larry Fink is all over the international news just the last couple of days, belly moaning about how the pension system, the retirement pension system, needs a bailout. They've stolen so much money from the pension accounts. From the pension funds, the state and federal employee pension fund. Larry Fink, go check your internet, do the research, and I'm flat out telling you, Larry Fink is belly moaning about a pension fund bailout.
Hey, just like a Social Security, where's that money at?
The lockbox? Yeah, Steve Roberts, where's the lockbox?
It's inside the helicopter.
Was it in the World Trade Center?
Yeah, it's in the World Trade Center, yeah.
It was on them dump trucks that was hauling ass out of there.
Was it in the World Trade Center 7 or in the Pentagon? Well, let's get real, ladies.
There was...
I'll make a bet with both of you guys. Call up Wayne Dolphusino in Houston and ask him where, you know, about the money trail.
Hey, have him call me. I'm tired of having to chase these people down. They should be calling
I can't agree with you more on that one, Dave. These people are like, you know, call up Hillary Clinton and ask her what was in all those emails.
Hell, I got escorted out of the FBI offices just for mentioning Jeff Sessions.
Well, the bank that suckered me back in 82, the damn bank president was the FBI. See, that's something they didn't bother to tell me back then. I had to find it out through an obituary.
Hey, every one of their offices at the small podunk cities is in like the Regions Bank building, you know.
Yep. Regions Bank is in it up to their eyeballs with fat.
And they're in the RSA Towers. You know, that's where they're at.
Hey, Steve, I got a question for you, Mr. Roberts.
Okay.
How in the hell can BlackRock, the most successful, lucrative, you know, I mean, this BlackRock is like filthy, stinking rich, right? Why would all the pension funds that they're managing need a big bailout?
Because it's all fraud, wow. That's why. It's all fraud, that's why.
Why would Larry Fink be whining and moaning over the pension funds all going broke? And same with Social Security. They're whining about that. Now, this stuff's on deposit with BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street. There's a bunch of other state employee and federal employee pensions. And then there's the big corporate pension, you know, the people that are, you know, gambling the money in the markets, because that's what they do, by the way. They gamble the money in the markets in places like Singapore. Like, you know, that ship that hit the bridge in Baltimore is from Singapore.
Yeah.
Talk about a distraction. Did you see that bridge go down?
Yes, I did.
Like a house
of cards.
There's
videos all over the net. You know, there was people coming home from work, going to work. There was medical, laundry. There was families on the bridge. And this ship, the odd thing that I see is the power went out on the whole ship. The lighting system went down, not once, but twice.
That's so they could see better where they could hit the bridge.
Well, I don't know what the, you know, actual scam is. It will come out.
Maybe.
It will come
out. Hey, we'll get it out. They won't be in the mainstream media.
Well, you know, the first thing that I thought of is Barack Obama went to 10 Downing Street here about a week ago to meet with the British royals over, you know, the game plan for Palestine. And because they knew that they knew the Security Council was going to, you know, impose this demand for a ceasefire, right? Immediate ceasefire. And you've got huge oil and gas interests, mining interests. You got massive reconstruction and real estate deals all in the works, because everybody knows, just like in the Ukraine, that somebody's going to have to rebuild all that stuff. And I think, doesn't BlackRock have the contract?
Hey, BlackRock, they're tied in, I think, with Harbert. That, you know, when the Category 5 hurricane hit Tyndall Air Force Base, now there's a $3 billion cleanup and restoration thing going on, and Harbert and all is right in there and doing the no-bid prison systems in Alabama with Louder. And I think that's Rick Scott's core civic. I wonder why he isn't in one of his prisons already.
Well, you've got a just a mind-bending amount of money that during the Warp Speed fiasco, where they unleashed on the world their bioweapons. And a lot of people, when you try to explain to them that they knew all about this COVID nonsense years before it wound up in the middle of an international pandemic. And then, of course, along comes all these mRNA experimental injections from the frontline doctors. There's about 15,000 of them, I guess, worldwide. And then there's about 15,000 of the frontline nurses. worldwide. So there's about 30,000 medical professionals that, well, they're screaming bloody murder that it's been a nothing but a mass murder and a bioweapons conspiracy against humanity.
Yeah.
That's not me. That's not me making up a conspiracy theory. That's thousands and thousands of professional physicians, you know, medical caregivers.
Hey, the morticians are coming up with a bunch of stuff, too. I've got a friend in England that was talking about some of the things they're finding out in the autopsies and the embalming and all that that they're doing. Well, all the things that's coming out.
Here's the thing that'll really blow your mind. Mr. Warp Speed, Mr. Donnie Trump, he was pre-planning COVID bonds years before he took office in the White House, involving the Clintons. You know, you just can't get around the Clinton mafia. And you got the Bushes. And then you got, you know, governors of Florida, governors of Colorado, governors of California, Nancy Pelosi. You got, you know, just unbelievable numbers of people that were directly involved with murdering off all the senior citizens they could muster, like Andrew Cuomo in New York. It wasn't just the nursing homes in New York. There was nursing homes all over the nation that took infectious COVID patients and put them in with grandma and grandpa.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great place to have a sanitarium, Steve, is put infected patients in with the most vulnerable population you can find that are collecting pensions and Social Security and Medicare.
Hey, whoever it is probably still collecting that stuff, too.
Well, I mean, is this a cost-cutting measure to murder off grandma and grandpa?
Well, how many people have already been ripping them off so bad?
I have a friend, her name is Nancy Dean. I've been trying to convince her to come on Cancel the Cabal, but she's a big dog with Fox News. She's after Cuomo's short hairs on his little tennis balls. She's after Cuomo, big time. In fact, Cuomo has received a subpoena to testify to the Congress about it in about 10 days or so. It's, you know, what in the hell? You don't put infectious patients, you know, with the, I mean, it's worse than typhoid.
Yeah.
It's worse than, yeah, I mean, this COVID stuff was serious. A very, very serious strain of the flu. Right, Stephen Roberts?
And a lot of people die of the flu every year, too, you know, from that same thing.
Judd?
Yeah, but you don't put them in the senior citizens' home.
Judd.
That's not stupid. That's intentional.
Judd.
Yeah.
Nobody could be that dumb.
Judd.
What do you think about that concept, Steve Roberts?
Judd. It's such a deadly virus that had a 99.774% survival rate. That's how deadly it was.
So these injections, according to most of the physicians I mentioned previously, they kill more people than the virus that was 99.7% survivable?
774%. 774.
Well, I mean, so these seniors that were forced to take the experimental injections of warp speed, what really killed them? The injections?
No, it was the
ventilators.
They put them on.
Let me get to the bottom of this.
They put them on ventilators.
Larry Fink. He's freaking out. The pension plans all need a great big huge gazillion dollar bailout. Look it up. I'm not making this up.
They put the 80 plus year old grandmas and grandpas, they put them on ventilators, and they gave him two of the drugs that they give to prisoners for whatever that's called, to end their life.
Yeah. To terminate them.
Two of them drugs they put them on. They put them on ventilators also.
Now, if Annie's listening, and everybody else that tunes into this program, the reason I brought Dave Harbin in is, you see, he just bumped into it. He didn't do it. Dave, did you go out and look for the trouble that you got in the middle of in Florida? Hell no. And neither did I. I didn't go looking for what I ran into in Houston. You know, right there in the middle of Iran-Contra and Charlie Wilson's war that was being run from the Houstonian estates, the Bush suite.
Hey, I've had more brushes with fame than Forrest Gump. You know, exactly. Billy Donovan was in flight school with George H.W. Bush. He came over and visited me. And all he wanted to talk about was Huizinga, you know, with Waste Management, AutoNation, Blockbuster Video and all that. He's got the Palm Beach Marina. All he wanted to talk about is him in China. His son-in-law was working for him over there, and he was saying, you can get anything you want, you know, at the Macau casino.
Sex, drugs, whatever. Weapons, whatever. Yeah, whatever. And
that's just across from Hong Kong.
You look up Joanna Herron King and James Baker III, the Secretary of State, and then look at how many times Billy Bob, oral sex job, Mr. Blowjob Clinton there, how many times he was in the hot tub with the Bushes at the Houstonian and with Joanna King and with Congressman Charlie Wilson that were black opping weapons to the Al-Qaeda, the ISIS, and the Mujahideen in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
You can track Huizinga back to Nova University, too. You know, Shepherd Broad's law school. And Broad, he was one of the founding fathers of Israel. Broad and Casile, you know.
You didn't Rubio's. Say this. Whoa, Dave, you can't talk about the Jews on this show.
I didn't. Did I say that? I didn't say that.
You said Israel. Close enough.
Well, he founded it. I didn't say, I wasn't looking for it, but he founded it.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but this whole incest mafia, because that's what it is. It's the CIA. It's the FBI. It's every federal employee that's on a pension fund. What in the, you're telling me that Larry Fink is saying that, oh, God, we got to have us a bailout of the pension system. Where'd all the money go, Larry? Where's the money, buddy?
Yeah, let's have an audit. Like all these Methodist foundations and stuff, too. You know, there's a lot of foundations out there. Conservancy, you know, doing all the swamp lands and...
Well, what interests me is how Biden is and his son, what's his name there? Cokehead. Cokehead Biden. Isn't he known as Cokehead? I'm sorry, man. But this stuff, it's beyond belief, Stephen Roberts. It's all like
a protection racket.
Don't they call it like a big bucket of worms, David Harbin?
Yeah.
Called RICO.
It's like a big old bucket of worms.
Called RICO.
And well, you know, it's funny that you'd say
that's treason. That's straight out treason there.
It's funny that you'd say that because, you know, if you understand the history of RICO as well as I do, and I'm not going to tell you I'm the best expert in the world, but I'm going to tell you I'm one of them.
Two overt acts within 10 years, man.
They can take a look at what Hillary and Bill Clinton were doing in the Houstonian at the Bush residence and, you know, swapping and trading, you know, spit with Joanna King and Congressman Charlie Wilson again in the Houstonian. Have you seen that movie, Charlie Wilson's War?
Yeah.
And they showed Charlie Wilson with all the bimbos in the hot tub?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Well, that hot tub's at the Houstonian. And here's how I know for a fact. I was part of the construction that built the Houstonian. I was there. I was there at International Finance Corporation when Oliver North and Richard Secord are photographed in the Houston Post exiting their limousine for one of their big gala fundraisers at the Galleria Post Oak Hotel. That's where North and Secord were coming up with their money to operate their black operation secret war. Right there, down the street, just a couple blocks over from the Houstonian Estates. Get a hold of Peter Bruton. Get a hold. Oh, here's one that you'd love to have on the show. Her name's Linda Miner. She's connected at the hip with Catherine Austin Fitz, who worked underneath. When she was younger, she was not a bad-looking woman when she was younger. And, you know, Barbara wasn't doing it for George. No. George had to go over to the...
Barbara couldn't do it for George because Barbara was a man.
Well, you know, that whole segment of history is quite interesting, Steve, because George, he was suckled right up, right straight on, right on the other side of the street from the Houston Chronicle and the old shut down Rice Hotel, which is huge. It's a huge.
Say,
in
Judge.
Its day, it was one of the most luxurious hotels in the world.
Judge.
But they had to shut it down.
Judge.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We have about a minute left. Can you give your website and also Dave's too? Dave, give his website again.
I'm going to leave it on you, Steve Roberts. And Dave, you and Steve need to get to know each other a lot better.
Hey, yeah, man, come see me.
This is the biggest story in human history that we're talking about here, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's the website?
You, Annie. I love you, Annie. Dave, stay out of trouble, Dave. I don't want to have to bail you out of jail. And Steve, I love you, brother. You're a good man.
Just give your websites once again, please.
Hey, just Google Panamaed. Panamaed. That's a WordPress. I've got so many stories on murders, church murders, just all kinds of stuff. I've been their worst nightmare. And the Reverend J.W. Hunt, he's the one that told me, said, David, you got Panamaed. So that's the name of my blog, Panamaed.
All righty. Well, thanks for coming on, guys.
God bless you.
My pleasure.
All right. Okay, everyone. Heck of a day. Heck of a show. Thanks for sticking around. And hope to see everyone tomorrow. Me and Roger.